Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friend. I am your host, Daniel Fazina. That's right, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. As always, I am very excited to be with you today and to bring you another amazing testimony of how the Lord worked in someone's life in the midst of a pretty traumatic accident. We're going to be hearing from Pastor Butch Paw, who is a radio talk show host in his own right. He hosts Call to Decision on GCN Radio Network. That's regionally syndicated throughout the country. And his website is www.calltodecision.com. Before we get to Pastor Butch, I'd like to remind you that you can always check out the archives of Divine Intervention Radio. If you missed the episode live, you can check us out at divineinterventionradio.com. It's my brand new website, totally redesigned. So if you haven't been there in a while, you can stop in and check out the new layout. In addition to the archives for the radio show, you can also pick up my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. I'm so excited about this book. It is really well done, and it's really powerful. I think it's my best one yet because it's got 50 true stories of miracle testimonies in there, ranging from answered prayers to miraculous healings, conversion experiences, near-death experiences, resurrections, you name it. So go to divineinterventionradio.com and click on the link for the book, and you'll be able to purchase it there. I think this book is really going to encourage you. If you're a believer in Jesus, it's going to take your faith to another level. If you're a skeptic, it's really going to challenge you. I wrote the book with skeptics in mind, actually, because I wanted to be able to present some true life stories of how the Lord works in people's lives. And in the case of stories that have to do with medical healings, I've also included medical documentation. So you can read actual doctor's reports from places like the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, and other places. And you can actually see x-rays and PET scans of before and after pictures where tumors were there and then they were gone. And you can read about doctor's reports that report things like brain tumors disappearing and things like that. So I'm hopeful that if you're the type of person that likes to dig deeper and get some additional information, some documentation, if you're a journalist like me and you want to know the facts and the details, they're all in there, they're all included. And this book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, I believe is a great witnessing tool. And I say that because it's a non-threatening way where you can give a copy to your friend or family member who maybe wouldn't go to church but would be interested in reading some great miracle stories. And you know, people love stories. Jesus taught with stories, and people relate to them. And I think if you can tell an amazing story of how God intervened in people's lives, I think that would be a great way to open people's minds and hearts and encourage them to say, hey, you know what? Maybe there's more to this life than meets the eye. So I want to encourage you to pick up a few copies and give them away as gifts, and you'll be planting seeds with the Word of God, and God will water those seeds, and hopefully they will bear some fruit, and people will be encouraged to seek their own relationship with the Lord. So again, the book is Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. Go to divineinterventionradio.com and get your copy today. All right, on to today's guest. As I mentioned, his name is Pastor Butch Paw, and he's got a really cool testimony of how the Lord intervened and protected him in the midst of a really crazy accident. He was actually shot accidentally. And as you'll hear, the amazing story of how God preserved his life through this and sent angels that manifested and protected him. So many different things. But again, his name is Pastor Butch Paw, and he is the host of Call to Decision on the Genesis Communications Network. His website is calltodecision.com, and it is my pleasure to welcome Pastor Butch Paw right now on Divine Intervention Radio. Pastor Butch, thank you so much for joining us on Divine Intervention. Welcome.
Well, thank you, sir. Good to be with you, Daniel. I appreciate what you've done. I love the book you sent me, and I really enjoyed our interview the other night. Thank you for letting me have a chance to come on your show.
Not a problem. I really enjoyed our talk as well. It was a lot of fun. So why don't we start from the beginning a little bit? Tell us about your background. Who is Pastor Butch Paw, and how did you grow up, and then how did you find the Lord?
Well, I'm just a hillbilly preacher is what I call myself. I'm West Virginia, born and bred in the state. In a little town called Monterville, West Virginia, a little coal mining camp on the Top Point Mountain, Randolph County. Born 1948. Matter of fact, my birthday just coming Sunday, September 7th.
Awesome.
Happy birthday. Thank you. And I've been here in this state, except for the time I was in the military, for most of all my life. I've been here 66 years this coming Sunday. And nothing special in my life. I went through, I guess, life in general. Through the military, then the Vietnam era, and come home, married. I've been married to the same woman for going on 43 years. I think I'll just keep her after all these years.
That is awesome. What a great achievement, and seems to be kind of a rare thing these days to be married that long.
It really is, but you know, the Lord's blessed us tremendously. We've gotten closer as the time goes by. Oh, yeah, we have our spats. You know, women can be hard-headed, Dan. You know that, right?
Really? I've been told from my wife that it was men who were hard-hearted, or hard-headed, I should say.
But anyway, we have three grown sons, two of them married, and six grandchildren. And I've worked in different jobs, everything from coal mining to sales. Mm-hmm. And I'm still part-time employed in sales. I've been on the radio now going on 22 years with the radio show. It's been national for at least, 17 of those years.
Wow.
The nightly show at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. People can listen on GCNlive.com and PastorButch.com, and several stations across country pick it up and play it. So they just have to go to the website and find out where. But anyway, I've been preaching for 35, 38 years. I've lost count of that. Pastoring for at least 30 of those. So
That's
it's been a journey. It's been a good journey. It's had up and downs like everybody else has. And
right.
In 1971, I was dating my now wife, of course. I come out of the military in April 71. We got married in November 71. I got saved in a little Baptist church here in Nettie, West Virginia, Olive Branch Baptist Church, at a prayer meeting night last Wednesday night of June 1971. Preacher named Bobby McMahon got happy. We used to call getting happy. Started preaching some during the service and led me to Christ that night. That's where I got saved. But it's been up and down ever since then. I've done a lot of things good, a lot of things wrong, but it's been a growing process, and praise
right.
God for his patience.
Right.
His patience to me has helped me understand, Daniel, why I need patience with others. Because if my father and my Savior been impatient with me, I wouldn't have lasted a week.
That's right. You know, we're all growing in grace. We're all walking the journey. Hopefully going towards the Lord and getting closer to him. But yeah, I try to let people know that when you give your life to Jesus, you don't automatically get all correct and straightened out all at once. Usually it's a lifelong journey of walking with him.
It's a hearing process, obviously. And right. A lot of things happen along the way to help you grow. But you have to desire to want to grow. And when I was called to preach, I ran for 2 years. I quit going to church and everything, try to get away from the calling. But I found out something. I can't hide from God.
No, we can't.
he said your calling is without repentance. In other words, he doesn't change his mind. He calls you. You don't have to follow, but you'll be miserable if you don't.
Right. Wow.
And so for after 2 years, I finally said, okay, I'll be a preacher. I'll be an evangelist. I don't want to be a pastor. Well, I've learned, don't tell him what you don't want to do.
Yeah, he has a habit of surprising us. And
he does. The next thing you know, after some time, I was on the radio, and I said, I don't want to do radio. Okay, I'll do it for a few months. That's been almost 22 years. So,
wow.
So he is in charge. Praise his holy name. He's in charge.
Yes, indeed.
You and I were in charge. It wouldn't last long.
No, not at all. Wow. So, yeah, I wanted to get back to something you had mentioned. You were in the military, and you got out in 1971. That was during the Vietnam era. Did you actually go over to Vietnam?
I was at Cam Ranh Bay for a brief period of time, and an outpost, and on the Laotian border in communications for a year.
Okay.
Before I come home.
Now, I've talked to other people who are in the military, especially when they go into a war environment. They say it really causes them to reflect and think about, you know, things like life and death and God and things like that. Was that part of your thinking back then?
Well, probably somewhat. I don't know that at that time I was even mature enough to think much about that. You know, when you're 20, 21 years old, you're invincible. You're tough. You're nothing can stop you. You know, you're going to be all right. Your life's just getting started, and you consider yourself a stud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to make it no matter what. Reflection on that, yes, I'm sure. I wasn't in the combat zones with a lot of people. I was in station bases, support combat groups. A lot of my friends were actually out in the jungle in combat, eating rats and trying to survive in the jungle. I did not get to go through that myself. I had friends who did. I supported those who did. But I wasn't the one on the front line, so to speak.
Okay.
So it was an experience, a grown-up experience, obviously. And I won't get into the political side of that. I know now that that was a war that was a police action that was for the rich man's pocket, not keeping America free. Vietnam was no threat to America, and neither than wars today. But that's beside the point. My father kept me. He wasn't my father then. I just knew there was a God. But he kept me safe for a purpose. And I look back over the years, and people have lost their friends have lost over there, and since then, and I look at my life and I think, Father, of all the people that you could have put in my place, much more qualified than I am, you chose me, and it's humbling to know that. It's humbling and a little bit frightening sometimes to realize that who I am and where I come from, and yet he's been patient with me to give me the grace to go on. That is what really blessed me.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how, you know, God can take anybody from anywhere and use them for his purpose.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I was so backward and shy when I was a little boy that giving an oral book report just scared me to death. Now I talk to thousands every night and it doesn't bother me at all, but that's a growth process.
Yeah, sure. I mean, now you're preaching the word and also on the radio. My gosh, how many people do you talk to? Thousands every day?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And by the grace of God, we've been doing this almost 22 years, and people are praying for us. They do help support us, and they, I think, appreciate the ministry. Daniel, I'm by no means an educated speaker. I'm just plain and to the point, and I still call sin. If it was wrong 4,000 years ago, it's still wrong today. God doesn't change his mind on sin. When it comes to morality, it's still the way he calls it.
Right. And if you look at the 12 disciples that Jesus called, I mean, they were no dream team either, right?
They were not.
Uneducated fishermen for the most part. He did have a doctor in there, a tax collector, you know. But
that shows that he can choose anyone.
That's right.
You know,
to get a revolutionary zealot and a tax collector from Rome, a Roman tax collector, together at the same table, I mean, that's amazing.
That's impressive. Is amazing. It truly is. But, you know, he is sovereign. And there's no way in our feeble minds that we can grasp the idea that he totally is sovereign. Everything, even though it seems like it can't be his will, works out to his glory. Always, no matter what it is. You know, in Isaiah 45:7 says he created good and evil.
Right.
And all to his glory.
That's a scripture that someone showed me only probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And it blew my mind, because I always thought that evil was like just the absence of good, but it actually does say that God created evil.
Yes.
And I guess
he did it. He did not want us to serve him as robots.
No.
It was not his plan. Even in the garden before man fell, he didn't want robots. He wanted those to follow him because they loved him. Adam had free will, and he chose the wrong way, as men usually do.
Right. And love, if you think about it, love requires choice.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't really force someone to love you. It doesn't
work. Well, you wouldn't want a wife that you forced to live with you when she didn't want to be there. That would not be a marriage. That would be a slave-master occurrence. That is not what the Bible teaches.
Right. No, and thank God we serve a God of love.
Amen.
I love that about just the relationship that he offers us through his son, Christ. Great stuff. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio, and I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Pastor Butch Paugh. So now, you had a pretty amazing experience with an accidental shooting. Take us to that fateful day. What happened that day?
Well, I've been on the radio a little over a year at the time, about a year, 4 or 5 months. It's happened in November last night of October, I think it was 1994. We just had dinner with a couple friends at a steakhouse. We were getting ready to go back to the radio station to do an interview. And I've always carried a gun. They call me the pistol packing preacher. I still carry a gun. I think it's not only a God-given right, but a duty of protecting myself, my family, and others.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ commanded his disciples in Luke 22:36 to sell their coat and buy a sidearm, a sword then.
Right.
But this is not something I take lightly. And besides, I've learned that if you don't exercise it right, it's like a muscle, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, during the process, going back to getting on radio station, I was in the studio, and the gun fell out of the holster back then and shot me in the stomach.
It fell out of the holster?
And it shot me
in the stomach. Okay. What kind of gun was it?
9mm.
Wow. Okay.
And, you know, it was I can't describe all of it to you except, you know, of course, it was a shock. It wasn't something I expected. I was getting ready to go in the air. I do know that a 9mm bullet point blank will not stop you necessarily. It didn't put me down. But, of course, they immediately took me to the hospital and started doing x-rays and different things. And the doctors commented to my wife, Marcia Jean, later on that night that they were amazed that I never went into shock of any kind. And I can honestly say I remember those details. I remember that night. I remember laying on the x-ray table, slipping my own blood.
Mm.
I can remember that. And I remember the doctor saying, well, we found a big bad bullet. And I remember going into surgery. They couldn't fly me to Charleston that night because the weather was so bad. It was in November. It was a lot of icing going on, so they couldn't fly me to Charleston. I remember going into the operating table with the big dude beside me with the mask put my face put me under, and a doctor named Dr. Ronaday was a surgeon. I got to know him over a period of time, obviously a fine surgeon, a nice fellow. The last thought I had before I went to sleep was, Lord, if I don't wake up here, I'll see you in a minute.
So you knew at that point you could die.
Yes, I could very well have died. And I can say this to glory of my God in heaven, I almost bring me to tears think about it. When I was first saved, I used to hear preachers preach about dying grace. And I thought, how they know about dying grace? Unless they face death, they don't know what it is to face death. How do they know about dying grace? Well, I can tell you for sure, Daniel, there is dying grace for a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fear. And I mean this to glory my Father in heaven. I did not fear dying. I did not want to leave my wife, my children, my family. I did not want to do that. But it was out of my hands totally. But there is no fear of death in a Christian's heart. So those up there that wonder about that, they're truly born again, let me tell you and assure you that when death comes, you'll not leave here in fear.
Mm.
You'll be leave here in a relaxed manner as I went to sleep that night. If I don't wake up here, Father, I'll see you in a few minutes.
I experienced the same thing. I totally understand what you're talking about because I had cancer and I had a massive tumor in my chest, you know, and doctors were telling me I could be dead within a few weeks to a few months.
Yes.
And I remember being totally broken and being lying in my hospital bed one night. This tumor was so big it was crushing my pulmonary artery and I was literally suffocating to death. And I said, Lord, I know I'm your child. If you want to take me, I will go with you. But if you want to heal me and let me live, I will do my best to continue to serve you and just tell the world about your goodness and your grace and your love and your mercy and power. But I experienced that peace. There was people around me who were crying and, you know, just distraught, like my family and some friends. And I was at total peace. I was at a total surrender, basically. So, yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Well, it's amazing. When it happened, you know, you can't help but wonder, why did he allow this? But I never questioned the fact that he allowed it for a purpose. I don't understand when people get bitter when something happens. I don't understand that. For those that love the Lord, I don't know if it's your turn to suffer or it's, you lose a loved one or whatever, why do we get bitter with him? He knows the future.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's best for all of us. So why do we get bitter with a Father that lets things happen for our good? If Romans 8:28 is Bible, it's really true. He promised that all things work to us for good that love him and are the called. That's a key word. The called according to his purpose. In other words, if we love him, that's important, but that's not all of it. If you're part of the called, the called out ones, the ecclesiastic, the believers, the true Christians, and you're serving to do his will, his purpose, everything that happens to you, he said, is for your good. Now, right. I believe that.
Me too.
I don't always like it, Daniel, but I believe it.
Right. Romans 8:28 was one of my key scriptures that I held on to when I was going through cancer.
Absolutely.
I just had to believe that something good was going to come from it, and it ultimately did. But a lot of times when we're going through the valley, we don't really see the big picture that God sees, so we need to hang in there and have faith and come through it on the other side.
The process of going through what I went through, it was a long process. It wasn't, you know, you used to watch old Western growing up in 1950s and 60s, they get shot, and in a couple of days they're back up and going at it again. It doesn't work that way, obviously.
I know.
about a year and a half, I was pretty much out of it, and unable to do anything for myself, and my beautiful bride took care of my wound faithfully. I was left open from the belly button up to my sternum. I was left open.
Why didn't they close the wound?
Infection.
Oh, boy.
They closed it at first and had to reopen and lift it open. And so, you know, they had to take care of some things there, and she had to dress it every day, twice a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And she did a wonderful job once the doctors were amazed how quickly it healed. But it was a long recovery process, and I remember laying on the couch one night. She was dressing the wound, and I started almost going again. I started crying. I think, why does he love me so much?
Mm.
I don't question his will on this. It's his will. And I see now, I see a lot now that I didn't see then, that he prepared me for in the future. He's shown me that death is nothing to fear, that he is all in all, and I will do as I'm told to do because I know I serve the Almighty God.
Mm.
If death is in my future for preaching the gospel, or if jail time is in my future for preaching the gospel, which is very likely in the future, it's his will, then so be it. He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my King and my Lord. And as imperfect as I am, his grace is sufficient.
Amen to that. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we're visiting with our special guest, Pastor Butch Paugh. He was sharing his story of how he was shot accidentally in the stomach. And, well, he had some pretty amazing things that happened following that. Pastor Butch, you mentioned that the doctors, I don't know whether they couldn't find the bullet or they saw it, but they couldn't remove it. And they also said something interesting about your organs. Tell us that story. What happened with that?
Well, they didn't find the bullet. They couldn't find the bullet. And they didn't know where it went. And, you know, normally you think that'd be the first thing out, but I assume they thought it passed out through the intestines right away, that they couldn't find it. They just didn't find it. But years later, now this may sound a little bit unpleasant, but this is how it happened. About 5 years ago, I'm thinking, maybe a little longer than that, about 4 years ago, I'm going to have to tell it like it is, I guess. There was something rattling around the bottom of the commode. So we took a plunger in there, and the bullet was in the commode.
So you had this bullet in your body for over
all that time,
15,
yes.
20 years?
Thankful, about 4 years ago, which would make it around 2010, I guess, in that area.
So 14 years.
Bullet passed on through, and I kept it for a long time. I set it on the mixer board from a radio equipment. And then I put it around my neck on a necklace because I want to always be reminded that life is fragile at best.
Yeah.
But I am not afraid of dying because I know who's in charge.
Mm.
I know who's in charge of my life. You know, he says in Hebrews, he took away the fear of death. And I read that scripture before, and I didn't understand it, but now I do understand it. And so the process of coming around to where I finally understood a lot about why let this happen to me was a growing process, but a rewarding process. And I'll let you talk to Marsha Jean in a few minutes to let her tell a story about what she saw. But the doctors did comment to her and I both that, I don't know how many it was, I guess three or four doctors, don't remember, or five, said that they didn't understand it. The bullet passed through where there should have been a lot of organs tore up, but the organs weren't touched.
Hmm.
They were moved aside.
Wow.
Now, I know that people say, well, what a coincidence. No, that wasn't a coincidence. Your organs just don't move on their own.
Right.
So the bullet never touched a vital organ. Now, that is phenomenal, being shot from, say, from 3 foot from the ground into straight up through your stomach, that the bullets didn't touch a vital organ. Went through my left hand first and into my stomach. And I just sat back and wonder about how great our God is.
Mm-hmm.
That he moved the liver and the bladder and the stomach out of the way of a bullet to let me go through what he wanted me to go through, yet protect my life. Now tell me that is the mighty God.
That is amazing. That is awesome. I met another gentleman who was shot, and similar thing. He was in the He was in the hospital recovering. He was shot in the chest, and they, you know, he was recovering in there, and they couldn't get the bullet out. And then I think it was about maybe like 10 days later, he started coughing, his, you know, like uncontrollably, and he actually coughed the bullet up. It came out through his mouth somehow.
Ow.
And it wasn't like, it wasn't in his lung, but I don't know how that happened, but just a miracle, you know.
That's the miracle of our God.
Yes, it is.
It really is. There's no other way to explain it. The doctors couldn't explain it, and I certainly can't, except to know that my God is who he says he is, and I simply in awe of what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to hear from your beautiful wife about her perspective and some of the encounters she had with angels even manifesting.
Sure, absolutely. So
stay with us on Divine Intervention Radio. We'll be right back with our special guest, Pastor Butch Paugh.
We'll be right back with more from Daniel Pizzuna and Divine Intervention right after this.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is an emphatic yes. Contained within the book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and tumors through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, can be found at www.divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 800-247-4788. That's 1-800-247-4784. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334.
Everybody, this is Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire Danny Johnson gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about.
Prior to getting started with Danny, I was a civil engineer working paycheck to paycheck, no retirement, no savings. Had a lot of dreams and goals and couldn't figure out how I was going to get to those. Started plugging into Danny, started my own engineering business, and this year we'll do about $600,000 in revenue. I paid off $50,000 in debt in 2.5 years. More than the money, a great relationship with my wife and my kids. Just amazing 2.5 years.
First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson is about becoming the leader you were called to be. More information about Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success can be found at DannyJohnson.com or by calling 866-760-8255.
Hey folks, this is W, a.k.a. John Morgan, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Your kingdom must come down. Satan, your kingdom must come down. I heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying, your kingdom must come down.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are visiting with our special guest, Pastor Butch Paw. He's sharing his riveting account of being shot in the stomach accidentally and how God worked through that. His website is calltodecision.com. He is a radio host and a pastor from West Virginia. He's on the Genesis Communications Network. And I also want to remind you that if you miss any of the shows, you can check out our archives at divineinterventionradio.com. We're going to post this interview up there as soon as it is done as well. So, Pastor Butch, welcome back.
Thank you. And I would like to say one thing. To remember the website a little easier, pastorbutch.com goes to the same site, calltodecision.com. But Pastor Butch is easy to remember. So it's pastorbutch.com will get you there.
All right. Awesome. So before the break, we were talking about how you were shot in the stomach or in the abdomen, and all the major organs somehow were not in the way of the bullet.
Yes.
That the doctors commented that that was amazing, that none of the vital organs got hit. And you had that bullet in your body for over 14 years.
Yes.
And you miraculously passed it out into the commode, and you now wear it as a necklace.
Yes.
As a reminder of the power of God in your life. That is so cool. And we also want to hear right now from your wife, Marcia Jean, who had her own perspective on things and also had an encounter with angels.
Absolutely. I'll let her tell you also about our needs were met. Now, this, Daniel, is no minor miracle. I still had children at home. We had mortgages to pay. We had to still keep up with the car insurances and everything else of all the normal life. We had to do all that, and I'm going to let her tell you how we were provided for all that time. And I mean, some bills paid right down to the penny of what we needed. So that was not a chance. Anyway, Marcia's here with me right now.
Okay.
So she's going to share with you her part of the story that she went through from the other side. I was always looking up at her. She's working on me. Now I'll let her share her story. Okay. Here's my wife, Marcia Jean, Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
Hi, Marcia Jean. Thanks for joining us on Divine Intervention Radio.
Well, you're welcome, and it's something that I totally believe in and have for many years. I was saved on March the 17th, 1963, when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And would like to say I've sought to stay faithful. A lot of growing in my life, and
sure.
I never want to stop that, and some was painful, and some wasn't soon enough, but I'm very thankful for that day.
Awesome.
And Butch was saved at my home church, and he shared that with you. I was saved at one of the other churches in the community. This was when churches would share, when we would have revivals, that they would, each of the other churches wouldn't even have Sunday school in their church. They would all go to the church that was having the revival.
Oh, wow.
And that,
that's awesome.
On a Monday night, March the 17th, 1963, I was there, and I was sitting with some friends, and I felt that tug, and I was brought up in a Christian home, but God let me know, you know, being brought up in a Christian home and living a good life does not take you to heaven.
Right.
And I pecked on the shoulder of a good friend of mine in front and asked her if she would go to the altar with me, and when I knelt down, the first voice I heard was my mom, and she said, Marcia, she said, do you know what you're doing? You're giving your life to Christ. You're not doing this on emotion, are you? And that was some of the wisest words I could have heard at that moment. And then Butch and I met, and we had our first date in April the 20th, 1971. We started going steady, which you don't hear that much anymore. We started going steady, and we were engaged May the 22nd, 1971. And we were married 7 months later from our first date, November the 20th, 1971.
Congratulations. So, Marcia, take us to the point where, you had this traumatic accident with Butch.
Yes, and that was, we were in the radio station. He was in the back of the studio. I was up front getting everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
And what I and the DJ thought we heard was some boxes fell over in the back because it was a real narrow hallway and mm-hmm. not a real big place. Then I heard Butch, and he hollered, "Marcia, come here." And as I went back here, he said, "I need to go to the doctor. I need a hospital." And he was standing there just with his hand on the lower part of his stomach. And so I went back through, and in all these little things, and I'll be very quick with this. My brother-in-law was a paramedic. I called their number where he stayed when he was in town, when he was on duty.
Mm-hmm.
Just the time that saved could have saved Butch's life.
Now, did you know right away that he had been shot when he said
he
was a doctor?
He told me he had been shot.
Oh, boy.
But he was standing.
Yeah.
With his hand over there. Well, I went back, run back through, hollered at the DJ. He went back to Butch. I went and called my brother-in-law. When I came back, the ambulance was already there. He was getting up. Tim was helping him. And his what I learned later was when Tim got back there, Butch had come out, sat down on the chair in the hallway, and his hand was bleeding so profusely that Tim's hat had come off, and the blood filled his hat just in no time.
Oh, my goodness.
Tim ripped his shirt off and wrapped it around Butch's hand, and now this is a young man that had never had any experience with anything like this,
mm-hmm.
but he knew what to do.
Wow.
He walked almost to the ambulance. Tim was helping him get out there, and then he started sliding down Tim's side, and Mike and his partner got him and brought the gurney and got him in the ambulance, and they told me to get in the front seat, and as I went, I started to pray. And Jesus so gently spoke right over my right shoulder. That's where he speaks. He says, "Marcia Jean, you all are prayed up where you need to be. Just relax and accept my peace and my strength."
Mm.
And when we got to the hospital, and after, I would stand in x-ray, they would have me go with him and hold my hand on his wound so he wouldn't bleed out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unusual. God gave me such a peace. And I usually can hold together, but a lot of times then, I will hold together till something's over. But even the people that knew us in the ER and stuff with children and stuff, you make some visits, especially with three boys. And he said, "Marcia," he said, "I want to show you something." And he had me and the boys together. He said, just a few years ago, there would be no hope at all because he's being gut shot.
Oh, boy.
But just going through his hand helped on the percussion of the bullet because the whole inside of his hand was tattered.
Mm.
And that's a miracle. He never lost a finger. He still has juice. He shouldn't have had juice of three of the fingers. They should have never got feeling back.
Wow.
And he has that. And so they said, and then they said, we're going to have to do surgery here because we can't fly him to our state capital where the large hospital is. And at first, I kind of felt a little panic, and Jesus spoke again, "Marcia, whose hands are you trusting?"
Mm-hmm.
"Multi-surgeons are mine."
Mm.
And that was for a reason, because he went in, and Butch was in good health when this happened,
Mm-hmm.
So he was in intensive care, and there were so, so many things. And the bullet was lodged behind his stomach.
Now, did they see it, or didn't they?
Yeah, they did find it. They had told me that it was lodged behind his stomach, but that they didn't. It would have been too dangerous to try to go through. He lost over 3 feet of his intestines. So that lets you know that it went right through the path that later we learned more.
Okay.
And we were, and then he was in intensive care for several days then too. On the floor, he was in hospital only really 2 weeks then, and he came home, and that's not when I really had to start. I had done an outside dressing, but mm-hmm. Nothing deep. Oh, and one other thing. The date this happened on was All Hallows Eve, 1994. And in February of that year, Wicca had put out an all-alerts bulletin, I guess whatever they call it, for all the Wicca to be in prayer to Satan to destroy all the Christian couples that were married, because that was the strongest prayer there is.
Wow.
That was in February, and this was on All Hallows Eve, which we not observed for many, many, many years. But I don't think that was just by chance. Well, on the 7th, same day, was back in the hospital. He was running high fevers. There had been a hole developed in his stomach from the percussion. Right. They don't think it came from the bullet. The bullet seemed encased right at that time. And so they, by ambulance, took him to Charleston. Still couldn't fly him down there. When they got down there, the doctor done his own x-rays and such, and he called me in, and they said, this doctor never calls you a family member, and he said, I want to show you something. He said, the x-ray that was taken in Summersville was it was just done just with no mistakes. The hole was right where the esophagus met the stomach.
Wow.
He said, had that been stayed there, there was nothing we could do but keep him comfortable. He said, but look at our x-rays. He said, the hole moved.
The hole moved?
The hole moved over 2 inches.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was just in the back of the stomach.
Wow.
And I had called a couple that we had known for years and years and years, and I just felt I needed to call them while we were waiting on everything to get together, and we had prayer there at the hospital. And I have no doubt in my mind that's when the hole was moved.
So how would you...
Not that God's power is any less whether we pray or not, but our obedience is what causes him to be able to act. We got to Charleston. They done surgery. They said he was too weak at that time. They done surgery 4 hours later. There was five surgeons in there with him. Each one of them at different times came to me later individually and said, we could not believe what we had seen. The whole bullet path was just ripped all the way up through. And he said, it's so obvious, it just looks like somebody held all of his organs up to let the bullet pass through and then laid them back down because they were all in the path of the bullet.
Wow, our God is amazing.
Those things, you can't even find just a reason why except God Almighty and his power.
Did the doctors, did they think it was an amazing thing, a miracle?
Or? Oh, they said it was far beyond anything that we could have done.
Wow.
You know, there was a couple that gave God the full credit, but let me tell you, they heard about him. They heard him get the credit each time one of them told me. And one morning I had decided that night after the surgery, because all through the rest of it I had been right there. The day after his shooting, I come home, loaded the car with anything I'd need, and lived out of my car. Until he come home, I didn't even sleep much then because I was awake. I was afraid he'd need me. And that was the only strength that would come from God. And after his surgery in Charleston, that evening, after we had got down there, I knew God just really spoke to me and said, you need to get a room and try to rest what you can, because they wouldn't have let me stay much right there in the one way room. I could have stayed out in the other, but
right.
There was not any even. But I had to totally follow Christ, and that's helped me learn to listen. That still small voice is constantly leading us if we'll listen. If we're not too busy about things we think we're doing for God and listen to that still small voice in the direction he wants us to go, it's always there.
Right.
And that night, before I left his bedside, I had a prayer, and as I went to prayer beside Butch's bed, I said, God, I said, I know, and what I'm about to share is something God never had to give me witness to this with my physical eye, because I've strongly always believed in it. But I said, God, if I'm not going to be able to be here, and I'm obeying what you want me to do, then put your guardian angels in watch around him, as I know they've been with us through it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just very simple prayer. And went, and the first week stayed down there. My dad covered our expenses, and the second week my father-in-law did, and that was a wonderful blessing. And when he was in the hospitals, I want to cover this real fast. When someone would hand you money, I had an envelope I'd always put it in. And one day the power bill came, and I just paid the bills as they came, you know, trying to keep it up. And I thought, oh, the power bill. There can't be that much left. You know, we were real tight with it when we eat or whatever. And the power bill was $147.62. And like I said, I'd always put everything back in that envelope. I'm sure you can guess by what I'm about to say. In that envelope was $147.62 to the penny. Nothing more, nothing less.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the God we serve.
Yes, he's always on
that
time,
night,
and he just
I
gives you what you need.
And I dozed some. You know, I slept in my clothes for every night except the night before he came home from the hospital that time. But they called at 6 o'clock that morning, and I'm sorry, that was the second morning. We got up that morning early, about 6:30, and went down, and I went walking back into ICU, went through the double doors, and just kind of walking and thinking and praying and trying to say, Lord, you know, strengthen me, let me be radiance to him and not sadness. And as I walked through, you know, there's usually sliding doors on each ICU room. As I walked up, I was kind of looking down a little bit, you know, because I was meditating, wasn't wanting anything else. And as I stepped foot right at those doors, I looked up. And I just now, I was thinking while Butch was talking, and I had never before counted how many angels was around the bed. There was 7 angels there. They were shoulder to shoulder. Their size, according to my height, I would say they were about 7.5 feet tall.
Hmm.
They did have white. It wasn't like blind your eyes white, but it was white array. But it was soldier type. You know, they had their sheaths and their sword. They were all bald. So that must be angelic to be bald. And there was 2 standing. All of them was facing in. That's a very important point. They were all facing in. 2, when I stepped foot over that door, stepped sideways as to open up for me to walk to the bed.
Wow, and you witnessed this with your eyes.
Yes, I've seen this with my physical eyes, and I always wonder, God, I knew they were here, but it was just such a blessing that he honored me in such a way.
What was your reaction when you first saw them?
Calm.
Calm.
Sweet, peace. There wasn't, it wasn't like a, oh, there's angels, like you would think it would be. It was just such a, there was an awe there, but it was a gentle, peaceful. It was just like, really dawned on me until later that I was surprised that he allowed me to see him, you know. And then when I got up to the bed, I didn't see him physically anymore. But you knew they were there.
That is amazing.
They were ready. They were standing in guard position with one hand on their sword.
Mm. So, Marcia Jean, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you, throughout this whole ordeal, going through what you did with Pastor Butch and the shooting, you know, and seeing God provide for you both with the financial blessings and also, you know, the angels, what did you learn about God and about your relationship with him going through this?
Years ago, I had heard, the name has slipped me, the pastor that had the children's home, I had heard him say, because they had been a lot of attempts on his life, no matter what happens, if I go by whoever's hand it is, it's time for me to go, because I will not leave this world until it's time for me to go home, until God's work is done in me. And when Butch was lying on the couch that one evening and I started crying and I said, I feel so unworthy to be able to minister to you, to take care of the body of a man that had been called, and God had whispered to me, and he told me, he said, this is as of Job, the hedges have been dropped around a faithful servant, and that has stayed with me. The times that he's walked right into the lion's den, I know that he will come out. If he doesn't, it's time for him to go home. And when he was laying on the couch, I shared about this with him. I could not figure out. It was still kind of puzzling why they were facing in. One night I was dressing his wound, and he said, Marcia, and the tears started coming to his eyes. He said, you know, when I laid there, that I could see demons. Now, this is something you don't share a lot, because people would think, oh, he was on medicine. No, he wasn't, because he couldn't take the narcotic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
He was on just a simple pain medicine. He said, I could see the demons coming at me those nights, and he said it was like they'd hit a windshield. And I couldn't help but the tears start pouring. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, but that's why they're facing inward, Because if I was standing in front of my children or someone and protecting them, I'd be facing the enemy. I'd be facing away from them. These angels were facing in. That's where the problem, that's where the demon were coming from. That's where the attacks was coming from, was Satan himself. And they were coming down, and their swords were stopping him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Where they could not attack Butch in any way, shape, or form.
That is awesome.
They are there. God is a God that is alive and a part of us, and he needs to be in your breath, because the only breath we own is the one that's already in our lungs.
Amen. Wow.
And Daniel, you just amaze me in there. I just am so thankful for your work and your ministry.
Well, thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but Marcia Jean Paugh and her husband Butch Paugh, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, and our prayers go with you and your family, your ministry.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Friend, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention Radio. I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope this episode has encouraged you to know that God is real and he is still working in the world and doing miracles. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is an emphatic yes. Contained within the book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and tumors through prayer. You'll see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, can be found at www.divineinterventionradio.com or by calling 800-247-4784. That's 1-800-247-4784. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. The Other Perspective 777, a sacred art sensory experience. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com. That's www.billylamont.com.